I've never felt like this before. It's like you just get me. I feel like my true self with you. Does that sound crazy? And it doesn't hurt that you're gorgeous. Okay, that's it. I'm taking you home with me. I mean, you can't find shoes this good just anywhere. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at your DSW store or DSW.com.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Dominate your fantasy baseball league with Fantasy Baseball Today, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network. Join Scott White, Chris Towers, and me, Frank Stanfill, every weekday as we recap every player from every game. We'll get you the latest news, waiver wire ads and drops, trades to make, prospect promotions, and everything else you need to take down your league. Follow and listen to Fantasy Baseball Today on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Spiegel and Holmes, afternoons on the Score.
Runners off to their leads. Here they go. The pitch hit deep in the air. Right field and down the line and gone for a home run. Three-run homer, Pete Crow Armstrong, right down the line and right. I had to wait to make sure it stayed fair. Gone by plenty. Cubs lead 5-2.
He's kind of hit everything we've thrown him all weekend. He was hitting off speed really well. 3-2, coming in the zone there. Didn't really want to throw him a changeup in the zone. Didn't want to speed his bat up, give him a chance to elevate something. Forcing was an okay option. I landed on the cutter. He hadn't really taken a great swing at that, and I was just going to kind of go over and over again to him. And was kind of able to just hook one down the line. So it was a good swing.
Jonathan Cannon talking about Pete Crow Armstrong, who, as of this morning, is leading the National League in wins above replacement.
Wins above replacement, a nice, convenient single metric to detail the pure value of a player, taking the defense and the base running into account. Center field gets a lot of love, and he is terrific in center field. Going to get absolutely anything and everything. Big time arm has been on display a time or two. How about the catch where he's going back? Was it Friday he went back? Or was it, I think it was Friday, he went back and the ivy and the wall was waiting for him to be violently collided with. And he's
the
like,
ivy just kind of popped. Like, it was just like, there was nothing. And then it was like, there it all was.
Yeah.
Then there's a dust storm. It's very strange.
Oh, yeah. It's been a strange time here in Chicago. That's for damn sure. But yeah, Pete's having a hell of a moment. So he's what? He's first in war in the National League?
He is. He is second in overall because Aaron Judge is doing Ruthian, Bonzian stuff every single night. Aaron Judge is a 4.1 war. That is insane for us to be, what, 25% through the season?
Yeah, a full season. If you're a 9 or 10 and a full season, it's a monstrous all-timer of a year.
Pete Crow Armstrong is second with a 3.0 Fangraphs WAR. That puts him ahead of Shohei Ohtani, Bobby Witt Jr., Fernando Tatis, the Big Dumper, Cal Raleigh,
wow,
Corbin Carroll, Geraldo Perdomo, Hunter Brown, and Alex Bregman. That rounds out the top 10. If you're wondering, hey, what about Kyle Tucker? Where's he been? Well, he had some struggles. He's down at 15 now with a 2.0 war, which is still fantastic, which is still a guy that projects out to be a 6.5-7 war.
Yeah, that would be a phenomenal thing, and he'd still be worth the contract that we've been espousing. Maybe these struggles, and what can lead you towards a more manageable conversation in that regard. But let's stay on PCA because I know you want to, and with good reason. You want to know the numbers he's on pace for from a full season counting stats perspective?
Let's do that.
43 home runs, 130 RBIs, 47 stolen bases, and 122 runs scored.
So a 40-40 club member if he stays on track.
Uh-huh. And the only 50-50 ever was Ohtani last year. He's on track for 43-47 right now. 122 runs is phenomenal with 130 ribs. All of that while playing, to keep it in the old school, a gold caliber, a gold glove caliber center field.
All right. Can we do like quick categories?
Yep.
Can you name all of the players that are in baseball's 40-40 club? There are 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 of them.
I like when you host categories. So I get to try out the brain.
Speaks, you're first.
I'm first. I'll go with Ronald Acuña Jr.
Very good. Ronald Acuña Jr. did it in 2023, where he had 41 home runs and 73 stolen bases.
Yeah, he's the only 40-70 guy.
Tanny?
I seem to remember like getting the baseball card, and this first time I ever saw this was a thing. Was it Jose Canseco?
Jose Canseco. He, in 1988, 42 home runs, 40 stolen bases.
Tremendous
point. And he did it in 151 games.
How about a young Barry Bonds?
How about an old Barry Bonds? How about any of them?
Barry Bonds, 1996, 42 wow. home runs, 40 stolen bases. It took him 158 games to get to 40-40. Speaks.
How about Alfonso Soriano?
That is correct. 2006, Sori for the Nationals, 46 home runs, 41 stolen bases, 147 games to get to 40-40.
What do we Tanny? Got? We got two more? Here?
I'll take a shot at the GOAT, Willie Mays. Did he do it?
No, Willie Mays did not do it. He was not a 40-40 guy. Alex.
Ken Griffey Jr.?
No. Speaks for the win.
I think Alex Rodriguez.
You are correct. 42 and 46 in 1998. 153 games for him to do it.
We're missing one more.
Ohtani.
Oh, yeah. He just went 50-50.
Yeah, I mean, I get it. He's in his own category of 50-50, but
well,
yes.
Said 40-40, technically. Yeah. I had that, obviously.
Obviously.
54 home runs.
All right, good job.
59 stolen bases. It took him 126 games to get to 40-40.
I'm gonna go ahead and nominate Lawrence Holmes to host categories this week. I like playing. I miss playing, frankly. I enjoy playing. And I've been made fun of relentlessly for my last two attempts at categories.
If drafted, I will not run. If elected, I will not serve.
I can host for you, Lawrence, if you want me to.
Oh, there we go. Alex Kuhn.
Happy to.
Oh, look at that. Got options.
Anyway, all right, back to PCA. Watching him evolve, and I think that the cannon cut is a really interesting one, Speaks, because it's a guy that you're seeing now, and the thing that you worry about is he does swing a lot. Like, that's been the, well, you know, he swings an awful lot, and you worry that the strikeouts are going to find their way to him. I think he's been pretty good.
That two-run single that he had on Saturday was an ambush, and he took a nice, easy swing with men on second and third after the six RBIs the day before. And I had that same thought. Lawrence is like, he's swinging very early in the count and going after it. So... yeah, junk is coming. The next challenge is going to be junk, but early in the count. But he makes contact all over the place. He's got some Javi in him, some Kirby Puckett, some Vlad Guerrero in that way of like swinging all over the strike zone and beyond.
Javi's back too,
dude. It's amazing.
I love it.
I love that Javi and PCA are both having a moment. It's really neat.
Baseball itself, I mean, I know that we're kind of laser focused in on what's going on with the Cubs for sure, but baseball itself this year, there's been a lot of stuff. Like, there's been a lot of, like, you look around, you're like, man, every Aaron Judge at bat is an event for me because I know that he's just going to double. Like, it's either going to be a double or 450-foot home run. When you see that guy doing what he's doing. And, oh, by the way, Shohei Ohtani's still great. He's still great.
Yeah,
so is Freddie Freeman.
Yeah, there's great dudes. There's great dudes all over the place. I mean, baseball just had that awesome weekend. Listen to PCA after the game yesterday, because the whole weekend, to your point, Lawrence, the whole point, it felt like a PCA kind of carnation in Chicago. There's both teams, and there's Luis Robert, who you dreamed of turning into a five-tool center field killer.
He's got all the things.
I
forgot who it was. Someone made a comp of him and Patrick Williams, and I'm like, you know what?
Man.
I get that.
It's an interesting nature versus nurture study here with these two center fielders.
Yeah.
You know, I agree. A lot of this stuff is like guys going out on their own and improving their own games, but like, look at the organizations.
You could also say the same thing about Javi, too, Tanny, where if you look at him in your team is winning, your team is playing winning baseball, and you look at the player that Javi Baez is when your team is playing for something versus. Your team's just kind of there.
I do believe it is infectious in baseball. There's that you can't quantify stuff like that. But it gives you hope. I was talking to my dad about it. Seeing Javi, it gives you hope that if he can turn it around after being left for dead from a baseball perspective, it gives you hope for any of these guys you see out there on any given day.
Yeah, it's interesting. Like, there's something about Javi. Like, A.J. Hinch got emotional talking about him. We played it last week, talking about how Javi just, like, he never once pouted, you know? He just stayed like, God, I want to play. Like, loves the game. That's a big factor, isn't it? Truly loving it and wanting to be great at it.
Well, that's another thing about PCA.
Yeah, he loves it.
That I think is helpful. Like, there's clearly an appreciation for the game itself and the history of the game. And the artistry. So now you have to put everything together. And at times it felt like the artistry was ahead of the actual play for PCA. And now I think all of that's together. You see how geeked he got when he got the picture with Ken Griffey Jr.
And they have a relationship now. Like, they talk, and he reaches out, and they talk about all kinds of stuff. That feels very natural.
And see, that's a young guy who is figuring out, hey, I can lean on Justin Turner and ask him questions, or I can ask Dansby Swanson a question about all of this, or I can call one of the greatest center fielders of all time and ask him his thoughts on things. It takes something to get to that point, and I feel like we're watching that maturation happen with him, and it's all coming together, and then you have the emotional amplifier of Wrigley Field where all that's going down. I like it. And the reason why I know that Javi and PCA will be connected for forever, but I also like that PCA is comfortable with the idea of, I'm going to play the bad guy now. I'm going to have a little bit of fun with this Cubs-White Sox thing that we got going on.
100%. He embraced the whole weekend, and the weekend embraced him back. Here's Pete Crow Armstrong on the vibes at Wrigley and his emotions getting displayed.
120,000 people here this weekend, you know, all Chicago watching you guys. How much energy do you get out of crowds and, you know, in particular Cub fans?
Yeah, I mean, specifically Cubs fans, it's, you know, it's the best. It's my favorite display of sports fandom that I've been around. Obviously, I'm a little biased when I'm, you know, standing right in front of them. But, yeah, I mean, it's nice when you see a lot of blue in the stands come bottom nine and we're up and yeah, they were in it all weekend, you know, especially today, all day. I love feeding off of a good Wrigley crowd because there's no bad day when the bleachers are filled. And, they show up every day.
Showing your emotion in the moment, whether it's good or bad, is something that I think myself and maybe people here are getting used to watching, that you let it all hang out. Is it kind of been your MO your whole sports career?
Well, I think that's just who I am. You have those moments where you don't really think about how you react to a double or a triple or anything like that. Like, you know, there's nothing about this is planned. Like, it is just like, I think baseball brings it out of all of us. If anything, it's about the sport. It's about the competition and wanting to win so badly every day. It's really just baseball pulling it out of me specifically, but I think a lot of people probably feed off the game the same way.
It's good stuff from PCA. Tanny, I'm about to put a smile on your face. You ready?
Good luck.
Okay. Miguel Vargas named American League Player of the Week.
Wow.
See?
No, my face or Spiegs' face? Spiegs is beaming right now.
He's been on this.
He's going to go out there and claim Miguel Vargas ahead of me, and I'll allow it because he's been out here on the front lines of telling people that Miguel Vargas may be not just a guy, but in fact a dude.
Vargas has, over the last week, a slash line of 417, 423, 1,000. And since April 23rd, 350, 418, 638 with five doubles, six home runs, 15 RBIs, and 13 runs scored in 22 games. Vargas is the first White Sox position player to be named AL Player of the Week since?
Robert, 19?
Robert in 23, actually. Remember he went on that crazy...
Oh, it's not 19, yeah, sorry. Yeah, the All-Star year 23,
when
right?
He went crazy for that week in June. Yeah, that was a something. So, all right, Spiegs, take the victory lap, baby.
Well, no, I'm enjoying for Miguel Vargas, and I'm kind of falling for him a little bit as a dude. I love that I love that he had the humility to realize he needed to make a big old change, and he did by raising the hands up and flattening the bat, and that literally was the day before this 22-game swing began. I think there's some institutional positivity you could take about the White Sox because Ryan Fuller and the whole staff all worked together to figure out what he should do and suggested this, and it's playing out. So that should let you know that there's some good hires, as we've known, who might be able to make some material changes. And you might have a guy in Vargas who's a legit piece, a third baseman with serious pop, who's playing very well defensively, by the way, and is willing to work and tinker and figure some stuff out and is hitting the hell out of the ball.
Well, and also the ball was hitting the hell out of him.
So he got hit. This is the moment yesterday, late innings, Brad Keller on the mound. Miguel Vargas, who was, you know, killing it all weekend long at the plate, got beaned.
Brad Keller will take over. He's done great work.
Ooh.
Darting inside.
Vargas has had a big series, thinks there was some intent there, but I don't believe so. Unless these guys have history.
Jurgensen stands between him and Keller as he walks off the field. Vargas still not happy about taking that pitch up and in.
And Brennan Miller trying to calm down Vargas. Again, the last thing you want is an involvement with the umpires in this situation.
As Brad Keller stopped on that top step. And
both teams were warned. The umpires got together. They all talked. Both teams were warned. And we'll see how this plays out.
So here's Miguel Vargas on what he said to Brad Keller in that moment.
After the inning, just kind of what happened, you know, when he kind of walked past you, you guys exchanged words, it looked like.
I just want to know, what was his favorite restaurant? And I just asked him about it.
What did he say?
He didn't say anything. I guess the guys from the bench saw more about him than him.
Did you feel it was intentional?
I don't know. Just you guys, so I don't have a clue.
All right, I just asked him what his favorite restaurant was. That's hilarious because they're not going to tell everybody what was going on. Here's counsel on the Cubs bench roll in that moment as they were barking, according to Vargas.
Do you think that was just the White Sox been around the game, just a frustration boiling over? Was there anything you saw that was not right?
No, I mean, you know, Vargas was upset he got hit. There was probably some chirping from our side. Boys playing baseball?
There was chirping. Lawrence, would you like to know what this was all about?
I just heard it was about restaurants and what your favorite is. You scream it at that guy, and then that guy says what his favorite place is, but for some reason, Keller didn't want to share.
I mean, that is one possible interpretation.
Yep.
I'll give you that.
Yep.
Here's another courtesy of Len Casper and Darren Jackson, because those guys sussed it out in real time.
Okay.
And I was texting with Len, and he alerted me to the points in the broadcast. I went back and listened.
And this is why DJ is one of the best.
100%. 100%. They saw that on the second sacrifice fly by Seiya Suzuki, okay, that went to center, and Luis Robert instead threw to third, didn't even bother to throw home. Miguel Vargas was doing what a lot of third basemen will do. He was shielding Pete Crow Armstrong from being able to see the outfielder as he's making the catch. So, and that's totally legal, But, you know, it's a little bit of gamesmanship. He's standing there in between Pete, and he keeps moving.
It's playing to the echo of the whistle.
100%. You know what it reminds me of? Remember when Javi got in Troy Tulowitzki's way a few years ago and wouldn't let him try to steal signs? Like, whatever. Like, it's
AJ has talked about this, the importance of having to do some of that type of stuff.
Good on you, Miguel Vargas. Love that move. Guess who didn't like it?
The Cubs?
Quinton Berry, the third base coach of the Cubs.
I would not be surprised.
He started chirping at Vargas, and DJ saw it in real time. He and Len were breaking it down. So Quinton Berry is chirping at Vargas. Vargas is chirping back at him. Umpire saw that, gets a little involved, and those vibes stay. And then all of a sudden, Miguel Vargas gets hit later on, and DJ brought it back up. So the question then, was Brad Keller ordered to
the code red?
Play out the code red, or did Brad Keller on his own decide to go with the code red? Which
well,
is
he's old angry baseball face.
Yes. And he had the like snickering face as he was walking off. So if I'm Miguel Vargas, I'm pissed that I got hit for that too. Because all I'm doing is playing to the echo of the whistle.
I'm playing hard.
I'm just playing hard baseball.
I'm one of the only guys. It's on my team that's playing hard.
That's what I'm saying. I knew you'd like this because it's like, it's just baseball, man. Quinton Berry's job is to make sure that he is watching the outfielder in view and he screams to Pete when to run.
Yeah.
That's the job.
Yeah, that's the whole gig.
I'm team Miguel Vargas in this exchange.
You're very much team Miguel Vargas, and for good reason. He's played well, and I hope that...
Oh, you mean American League Player of the Week, Miguel Vargas? Yeah. Why would you question
Tanner,
that guy?
You might have a guy. I know you've been saying that Edgar Caro is the best young player.
The new Cuban connection. Those guys, yeah, I'm excited about those too. They need some more.
Yep.
But if these are good, especially the fact that you alluded to about the organization helping him get right. That was always the thing that I worried about. Once these guys go bad, do they have the infrastructure in place to get them right again? And this is a good sign in that regard.
I agree. So take your wins when you can. And Miguel Vargas' ascendance is one of the wins.
Speaking of organizations helping young players, there's some old school that has found its way back to the new school Cubs. We'll walk you through it next here on The Score.
This season, let your shoes do the talking. Designer Shoe Warehouse is packed with fresh styles that speak to your whole vibe without saying a word. From cool sneakers that look good with everything to easy sandals you'll want to wear on repeat, DSW has you covered. Find a shoe for every you from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, New Balance, and more. Head to your DSW store or visit DSW.com today.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Dominate your fantasy baseball league with Fantasy Baseball Today, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network. Join Scott White, Chris Towers, and me, Frank Stample, every weekday as we recap every player from every game. We'll get you the latest news, waiver wire ads and drops, trades to make, prospect promotions, and everything else you need to take down your league. Follow and listen to Fantasy Baseball Today on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Spiegel and Holmes.
Jim Ozarski covers the Bucks for the Journal Sentinel. He is the South Suburbs champion.
First of all, thanks for having me. I always enjoy being on with you, Lawrence, king of Evergreen Park. Appreciate that. look, Matt.
Afternoons on The Score.
You got any tickets laying around? Let me know.
Actually, we do have some tickets, a pair of tickets, to check out Simple Minds on their Alive and Kicking tour with special guests Saul Sell, Modern English, Friday, June 20th, Huntington Bank Pavilion at Northerly Island. And the tickets are available courtesy of LiveNation.com. If you're the sixth caller right now at 312-540-0670.
Lawrence, I sang this one on Friday night with Tributosaurus, this Simple Minds from the Breakfast Club.
I spend Breakfast Club with the quarterbacks.
First time I ever got a chance to do that one. It was emotional, man. That's like one of the emblems of the whole decade and all the 80s movies, the whole John Hughes
area,
thing.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, exactly.
Glenbrook North, I think, is...
I thought it was where Danny went to school.
And it's not New Trier. I believe it's the Glenbrook North football field at the end where Judd Nelson puts up the fist and does the whole thing. But yeah, Simple Minds at Huntington Beach. That should be Huntington Bank Pavilion there at Northern Island. Should be pretty cool.
You're going to have yourself a good time. Congratulations on winning those tickets. I was watching Cubs, and something caught my eye, Speaks, and I wanted to run it by you. I felt like our show is well-equipped to talk about this subject, and I was like, I'm marking that down and bothering Tanny in the middle of the game.
That's what we do. I heard Mully this morning talk about bothering Brandon Fryer in the middle of games. Too.
Sometimes, like, you don't want to lose the creative juices, so you mention it.
Sometimes I'm still in the car when you guys are at home watching the game, especially true. With these 640s. I'm like, yeah, I won't be home for another half hour at least, so I appreciate it.
You need to hear from us. You get lonely. You need to hear from us.
Oh, sorry about that. But Taylor McGregor had this report. Taylor, by the way, real talk, she's been doing incredible stuff as the sideline reporter this year, especially. She's been good the whole time, but she's been doing really quality stuff. And this was another one. I was shocked at this revelation. It was something that I had just assumed had continued, and apparently it has not.
A lot of these younger pitchers have never charted pitches, but it used to be the standard. Matthew Boyd and Jameson Taillon were joking that these young guys have no clue what it was like in the minors for them. It used to be a standard thing. That is no longer the case. And so the idea behind charting pitches is to get locked in on the game and then to also maybe pick up cues from the opposing lineup. What do they like to do in certain counts? And perhaps that can help you in your start. And you can see Matthew Boyd here tonight doing it. So perhaps a trend that we can continue to see in the Cubs dugout, guys.
Yeah, I don't feel like guys do it very much nowadays. Back in the day, I mean, I remember in the minors, Dem, you go into the stands.
That was your job. Day after a start, you charted in the stands, and the day before a start, you did the radar gun in the stands. So you actually charted twice in between. You chart one, keep velocity, the other one, you would just keep pitches. And I think it's a great idea. I love exactly what T-Mac was talking about. That is such a valuable tool to have because we can get lost in the game. We get lost where we're drift off. We go up to the clubhouse to grab a coffee. You go down to the tunnel. Like, it keeps you focused. It gives you information. And it ends up, you use your eyes a lot because you're like, oh, wow, man, this guy takes every time it's 1-0. I don't have to be perfect. You know, this guy, every time it's two strikes, he's swinging. So, you know, you can chase below the zone. So it definitely is a great tool, and I'm glad that he's using it.
Yeah, I think by osmosis, it almost is just passive learning. I mean, there's active stuff, but if you're sitting there locked in, there's just stuff that's going to penetrate your brain about the lineup.
I love that. That's Boog and Dem talking about it, and that last part is right where I was. There's a passive learning to this that goes on. It's just kind of learning the game. Now, I've gone through this at a much lower level, but the idea of pitchers not charting to me is offensive, yeah, to tell you the truth.
And we all grew up seeing, like, the pitcher with the clipboard there. The guy who's going to start the next day is just writing down every pitch, what it is, where it's thrown, what the result is, and then you add that. And that was how teams kept track of the stuff. And that's not how it has to be done now, which we were able to ask the manager about.
Yeah, we talked with Craig Counsell about it because we figured someone that grew up in an era where this was still going on what he thought about the idea of pitchers being wanting to chart as a way that they could learn more about the game.
The reason it was originally done is because it was legitimately the only way. That's how we actually kept track, right? Now it has kept track for us, right? The computers, essentially, the data does it for us, essentially. But I think this idea stems from just being very similar to another maybe pitcher on the team, and for that reason, you know, there's some reason to just kind of understand that. And then I think when you're really, really new to this process and the big league hitter, you know, that there's some value there too.
I'm with them on that. There's the value part of it, and when I look at this from a raw data standpoint versus an actual experience.
Oh, Hunt, that's exactly it. And we can all relate to that, can't we? You know, I can relate to it in what we do. Am I better off actually watching the game or watching the condensed game and reading through the summary to see what actually happened and opening up an at-bat on the MLB app and seeing what the pitch sequence is? You can do it that way. These guys can do it that way, but why not actually live it during the course of the game? Ben Brown was talking about how Matthew Boyd has been teaching him in this exact regard, because Tommy Ottavi brought it up the other day to Jordan Bastion over at MLB.com, and Ben Brown has been charting pitches. And Ben Brown said, quote, "It's a nice little challenge. I really enjoyed it." That's a 25-year-old dude who's never done this. He's never had to. And all of a sudden, he's learning how to, like, stay focused and stay mindful and watch the damn game. Makes all the sense in the world.
Baseball's such an interesting thing. And for me, as I've grown up here, as someone who covers baseball, someone who watches baseball, it's been interesting to see my own sensibilities shift, where I was someone who was stuck in the subjective because of my own experience of being stuck in people who play the game, people who are around the game every day, have a better sense of what's going on. And then I started to lean a little bit more to the objective, where it's, well, we can quantify a lot of stuff. And as I've gotten older, now I'm in the place of, yes, we can quantify a lot of stuff, comma, but there is still a human element to this game that almost no one can completely understand. And so you have to kind of straddle the line between the objective and the subjective when it comes to understanding this game. And seeing the Cubs recognize, or Matthew Boyd recognize and say, hey, I've got something that might help you. And it might not, but why don't we try it? Why don't you chart pitches for us? And let's see if it helps you get a better understanding of a lot of things. It's not just the lineup or the particular batter. It's flow of game. It's when on the pitch clock I am making that pitch. Does that make the batter more comfortable? Can I quick pitch them? What's the umpire like from pitch to pitch, from batter to batter? Where are they? And yes, you can be handed a packet with a lot of that information, but it's different when it's your experience inside of the game.
Boyd has been really, really good, and he was again on Saturday, and I want to give you some numbers on that. But first, listen to him talk about how seriously he takes being a mentor and bringing these kind of practices and ideas to the younger pitchers on this staff.
Yeah, it's always important. The goal is to win, right? And I think a team is, it's a collective, right? We all have different skill sets. We all have different, you know, experience sets. And however we can help each other, you know, we're going to do. And that goes, you know, from veteran to young guy and young guy to veteran, right? You know, Cade's doing things out there that I'm watching and going, man, I can take a little bit of his game and implement it in mine. And, you know, same with Ben and whatnot. So, anything we can do to win is the ultimate goal. And like, that's, you know, however that looks, like, we're always going to help each other trying to do that.
Matthew Boyd has gone three straight starts without a walk. He had 8 Ks on Saturday. He has a 23-0 strikeout to walk rate in his last three starts. And so I was looking him up. I was like, all right, so where is he in K to walk rate in all of MLB, right? He's 18th in all of MLB in K to walk rate. And like, the guys at the top are the studs of the league. Tarik Skubal is up there. Zach Wheeler is up there. Joe Ryan of the Twins, having a breakout year, is up there. You know, there's
weird ass Minnesota Twins.
There's one Cub ahead of Matthew Boyd.
Is it Colin Ray?
It's Jameson Taillon.
Oh, okay.
So, yeah, it's like, so there's a couple, these are the vets that are telling these kids what to do. Challenge, throw your stuff, throw strikes, go after people.
The Matthew Boyd and Colin Ray moves for the Cubs through the first quarter of the season look to be brilliant. And now, understanding that Shota is probably going to be late June, according to Craig Counsell, that they're going to need those guys to continue being that good. Now I think we're getting at least to the place where you can start thinking about some moves. And I know that the Cubs have been connected to Ryan McMahon, and that if this Shaw thing doesn't work out, that might be a place that they go for help at third base. But for starting pitching, it's a little bit more delicate in trying to find someone that could come in. And what they've done so far, the guys that they've brought in so far, whether it's Ray or Boyd or Cade Horton, have been pretty good.
Yep, and that's why you take a flyer in Kenta Maeda, because you're just scrambling. You're just trying to find stuff.
Yeah, maybe there's something that Hadavi can see and say,
yeah,
you know what, we're going to get 60 quality innings out of him, and that's all we need. We need a bridge. We're not looking for this guy to be one of the guys that's going to start a game for us in a playoff series. All we need is someone to give us good innings. And not that many of them. Mm-hmm. And maybe we can do that.
We got Cubs Marlins early tonight. We're out of here at like 5 minutes after five. But let's talk about the Matt Shaw thing. You got some serious doubts, and I understand your doubts on how this is working. And if this is an end for a Chicago guy, let's talk about how he went out as well. We'll do that all next on Spiegel and Holmes.
Once the board works, then there it is. Mullin Haw, baby. Yeah. Rick Pardee.
At Designer Shoe Warehouse, we believe that shoes are an important part of, well,
everything. From first steps to first dates, from all-nighters to all-time personal bests.
From building pillow forts to building a life.
For all the big and small moments that make up your whole world, DSW is there. And we've got just the shoes. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love at brag-worthy prices at your DSW store or DSW.com.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Dominate your fantasy baseball league with Fantasy Baseball Today, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network. Join Scott White, Chris Towers, and me, Frank Stanfill, every weekday as we recap every player from every game. We'll get you the latest news, waiver wire ads and drops, trades to make, prospect promotions, and everything else you need to take down your league. Follow and listen to Fantasy Baseball Today on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Spiegel and Holmes.
Former Bears tight end, Dez Clark.
Spiegel, we never met in person, but I pay attention to the radio when I'm back in Chicago, and I still enjoy tuning in to 6-7 in the score.
So what do you think of when you see Lawrence?
I mean, you still look the same, so you probably still got a little hater in you. but we'll see.
Afternoons on the score.
We can confirm Lawrence still has some hater in him.
Yeah, and we can also confirm that Dez said that if we wanted to reach out to him again during the season, he'd be down. He said he'll come out of his cave and talk football with us when
Let's do it, man. We got a tight end to talk about the tight ends and the way this offense is going to be implemented? Absolutely.
Yeah, I mean, we keep going around. We're getting a lot of the positions. Like, Olin takes care of our O-line stuff for us. And we've got Jalen to do the quarterback stuff. And we need a receiver because we got a couple quarterbacks that we can talk to, and one we'll talk to tomorrow, JT O'Sullivan.
Yeah, Bears receivers, it's tough to – who is Johnny Morris still available? He is.
Wani's guy Seaway was in media for a while. I think Seaway. He still is. Yeah,
Curtis Conway. We got options. But Lawrence, there are more important fish to fry right now. Okay.
I could go for some fried fish.
Matt Shaw is here. He's batting ninth in the lineup for the Cubs. He's back up. Shout out to Nicky Lopez of Naperville, who seems to be done with his Cubs career. We'll see.
I don't think so.
Okay. Designated for assignment, so they'll try to trade him, was the report. But, Nicky might be done. He got cut by the Angels a few weeks ago.
And DFA'd by the White Sox, right?
Yes, he's been DFA'd by the White Sox.
Nicky Lopez, who is a local product.
He really is. White Sox, Angels, and Cubs. Just for the sake of argument, if this is the last weekend of Nicky Lopez's Major League Baseball career.
He had a nice weekend.
He finished all three games defensively of Cubs White Sox in his hometown. Naperville kid finished all three games at third base, and on Friday, he caught the first pitch from Duncan Keith of the Blackhawks.
That's pretty cool.
I mean, if this is the way, like, for the son of Bob Lopez, softball Hall of Famer, Chicagoland 16-inch softball legend, former guest on Hit and Run, Bob Lopez, but, like, I mean, that's a pretty cool way to go out if this is Nicky's last weekend as an MLB guy.
I don't think it will be. He's still only 30, and you know that you're getting a quality guy and a quality defender. And that someone's going to get injured, someone's going to be ineffective, and someone's going to go, wouldn't the Cubs be paying his salary? Pretty much.
Yeah, it was a major league deal.
Right?
They signed him too.
So if you're another team that just needs a little insurance at the end of your bench for some games that you want to close out, it would make sense to give Nicky a call.
And if for some reason Matt Shaw doesn't pan out, the Cubs have shown that they can survive and thrive in part with John Birdie and Nicky Lopez.
Interesting choice, because you would imagine it was probably Lopez versus Brujan.
I imagine it was Lopez versus Brujan. Brujan is fast. Brujan cannot play defensively at third base. Lopez,
but he can play the outfield.
He can play the outfield a little bit.
Now, Nicky has played some outfield, but not enough to say that's a position you feel comfortable with him in.
Right, and John Birdie could play a little bit in the outfield, but I think that's what it came down to in that particular regard. In terms of Matt Shaw, Sahadev Sharma broke it down in his piece in The Athletic today that they sent Matt Shaw down to try and get him raking, right? And he has been raking. He's got a 969 OPS, six homers, a WRC plus of 151 in 24 games at Iowa. Okay. But here's what Sahadev wrote. According to a team source, it was a bit of a process to get Matt Shaw fully bought into the mechanical change. His leg kick has long been a part of his mechanics, but the Cubs weren't asking him to eliminate the movement. Rather, they believed that a less pronounced leg kick would allow him to be on time more consistently and get back to catching the ball out front and driving it in the air. The quickest way to get back to the big leagues for Shaw was to make the change and have success. First, Shaw had to get comfortable with the change, and he was doing it in batting practice, but he appears to have gotten comfortable with the change in games over the weekend. The above, and Shahadev shows the stills, the difference in the leg kick was between Thursday and Friday of this past week. He's been down there for 24 games, but he did this now in games twice, two games, Friday and Saturday. There were encouraged.
That seems like more than enough time to get a mechanical thing fixed.
There were encouraging results in both games.
He homered facetiously.
He homered twice on Thursday and Friday, but it was mostly that Shaw was comfortable enough to bring this adjustment into a game. Seeing him make the change and perform has the Cubs trusting that the time is right to bring Shaw back to the club. So apparently they've been working on it with him in BP and otherwise, but he now has just done it for two games. Is that enough to make you bring a guy back up and give him a shot?
Speaks, it doesn't feel like it. Does it feel like it to you?
No, Lawrence, it does not. But I don't know, man. Like, I'm still learning about the way the game works and the way the players work. Kid was stubborn, didn't want to change.
Maybe they see the breakthrough and just say, he's bought into it. Let's bring him back and let's see if it works.
Capitalize right now while he's hot, while he's bought in. He'll have some success, and that'll lock it in here at the big league level. It feels, I don't know, like, I guess it's not always a linear thing, but I thought he'd go down there for 20 games and make the change right away and then slowly figure it out. That's not what they did.
That's what I was hoping for. I was hoping for, we would get reports about him hitting like 190 because he's trying this new thing.
Right.
And then it ramps its way back up. And it's like, oh, well, now he's hitting 250, but he's consistently doing the thing that they asked him to do.
But that's assuming a linear progression. So maybe their thought is, just let him go down there and rake. We know he's going to rake, and we'll make this change. Now do it in a game. And here he goes. So maybe that's sort of an advanced way of thinking about teaching, where you, like, let the success happen and build off the success. I get it theoretically, but it certainly isn't the way that I thought it was going
to
go.
Yeah, Joe Madden used to say, when the student is ready, the teacher will appear. And I don't know. This just seems like a, hey, I've been hitting the ball. I did the thing, too, that you guys wanted me to do. I did that thing, too. Right. Can I come back to Chicago now?
So is
all
that,
right.
Is that the student is ready? When the student is ready, the teacher will appear. Kung Fu? David Carradine?
I'm sure that's probably where Joe got it from. That's right in the wheelhouse from an age standpoint.
Uh-huh.
And it's probably when the student is ready, the master will appear.
The teacher will appear. I'm seeing if it's from Kung Fu.
It probably is. I mean, that's Joe's whole thing.
Yeah. No.
No?
I guess the quote is often used in the context of Kung Fu Panda, where the character Master Shifu embodies this principle as a mentor to Po. Do we have any Kung Fu Panda people on the show?
Alex, Pablo Sandoval?
Alex, I'm looking in your direction.
No.
I was a huge Pablo Sandoval fan.
How about the movie franchise Kung Fu Panda?
Not so much.
All right. Tani, Juju into Kung Fu Panda?
No, that was a little before her time.
Yeah. Ruben, too. Ruben, too. He's nowhere on that.
That's Jack Black, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Nice renaissance. Now we're at Jack Black house, which is awesome, you know, because of the Minecraft movie.
Oh, there you go. Yeah. I don't know if Ruben's seen that. Should Ruben see Thunderbolts? You saw Thunderbolts, Lawrence.
Yes. He should, and you should too, but I think it's going to affect you.
Really?
Yeah, it's really well done.
Oh, wow. And it's one of those? It's like an actual movie?
It's a movie that just happens to have like Marvel superhero people? Stuff in it.
Got it.
And it is all about the struggle to stay mentally healthy and the effect that can have on you and people around you. It's honestly kind of a beautiful movie, and I wouldn't ordinarily say that about a Marvel film. It's kind of beautiful. It's worth your time.
All right.
I also have thoughts on Sinners that we haven't got to, but we can save those.
Yeah, let's do those soon. Let's do those soon.
I like that idea.
Mm-hmm.
I also like the idea that we've got Cubs baseball coming up. We've got a lot of stuff on tomorrow's show, too. Nico Horner's going to join us. JT O'Sullivan, Jason Leisure. It's going to be mammoth. For Alex, for Tanny, for my partner, Matt Spiegel, I'm Lawrence Holmes saying thank you so much for the love and support that you show this show every single day. We will try to repay the favor tomorrow. Spiegel at Holmes, 2-6 on the score.
But I got to let you go, Maddie. I'm sorry. I got stuff to do here.
You're good.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Dominate your fantasy baseball league with Fantasy Baseball Today, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network. Join Scott White, Chris Towers, and me, Frank Stample, every weekday as we recap every player from every game. We'll get you the latest news, waiver wire ads and drops, trades to make, prospect promotions, and everything else you need to take down your league. Follow and listen to Fantasy Baseball Today on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.